It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in Genesis chapter 11. We're going to begin reading with the 10th verse through the end of the chapter. And so please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11, beginning with the 10th verse. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Our website, if you would like to visit us there, is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'm glad that you've joined us today to study God's precious Word. It's just wonderful to have you along, and please that you enjoy the study. Follow the Spirit of God as He teaches you today. It's just wonderful to have God's Word before us. Now we're going to begin reading Genesis chapter 11, verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arpachshad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Arpachshad lived 35 years and begat Selah. Arpachshad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and begat Naor. Serug lived after he begat Naor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. Naor lived 29 years and begat Terah. Naor lived after he begat Terah 109 years and begat sons and daughters. Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Naor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Naor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of the Nativity in Ur of Chaldees. Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren and had no children. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this time together. We have read and enjoyed, Father, your precious word. Now I ask that you will guide and lead each one of us. And some may be asking, you know, what purpose are all these names listed? We will look to each name, look to each word, even though I have much difficulty in pronouncing sometimes the words. Father, it's important that we don't miss one of those words, that we look at each name and just, if nothing more, to read it and to recall it as we continue the study through your precious word. Father, please guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have looked through the families of Japheth and the families of Ham, and now we're to the family of Shem. Now, Shem is the one that has a very important line, and it is of the line that will continue through the rest of the God's Word. And so please that you pay close attention as we look through these names. And Shem if you will remember, is the one I said that links to Abram through David on to the Lord Jesus. And so you see that the nation of Israel comes from the line of Shem. So let's please look now very carefully. We're just going to take our time. We're not going to look at many other things as far as where we think everybody lives and all that. We're going to set our eyes on one individual, and that's on Abram, and that comes to the end of the chapter. So please just follow along very carefully. We're going to go down through and look at these ages. I want you to see that, and then we'll get on to the study at the end of the chapter. So please just follow along with me if you would, please. Now, once again, we're going to back to verse 10, and we're going to look at these very carefully. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arpachshad. Now, he was 100 years old when he gave birth to the name that's listed here, and it was 2 years after the flood, so we're getting this date put into place for us. And Shem lived after he begat Arpachshad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Arpachshad lived 530 years and begat Selah. Arpachshad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Now let's just back up just a little bit and take a look. We're looking at Shem was 100 years old, and that's when they had Arpachshad. Now we know that the total years then of Shem's life was 600 years. So he died at year 600. He gave birth to this child Arpachshad at age 100. Now Arpachshad lived 30 years and 5, and so he was 35 years old when they had Selah. So when they had Selah, then Arpachshad lived after he begat Selah, I'm in the 13th verse, 403 years, and begat sons and daughters. So Arpachshad was 35 when they had their son, and he lived a total of 438 years. Selah lived 30 years, so he was 30 years old when he begat Eber. And so 30 years old, he gave birth to Eber. Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. So he was 433 years old when Selah died. Now Eber lived 430 years. So he was 34 years old when they had Peleg. And so Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And so Eber was 464 years old when he died, 34 years old when they had their child Peleg. Peleg, down in verse 18 now, was 30 years and begat Reu. So he was 30 years old when they had their child, this boy Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu and begat sons and daughters. Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. So Peleg's life was 239 years and he died. Reu lived 230 years and begat Serug. Now as we look there, Reu was 32 years old when they had their son, and Reug lived after he begat Seru 207 years and begat sons and daughters. So he was 239 years old, as Peleg was when he died. Now we have Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. Now he was 30 years old when they had their son Nahor. Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. Nahor lived 9 and 20 years and begat Terah. So we have Seru was 230 years old when he died. And now we have Nahor, his son, lived 9 and 20 years. He was 29 years old and he begat Terah. Now Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. So we have that Nahor was only 148 years old when he died. Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And if you'll come all the way down to the end of the chapter, to verse 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So he was a total of 205 years old. Now, if you'll back up just with me quickly here, and then we'll go on to this next section. So we have Shem was 600 years old when he died. We have Arpachshad was 438 years when he died. Selah was 433 years when he died. Eber was 464 years when he died. Peleg was 239 years old when he died. Reu was 239 years old when he died. Serug was 230 years old when he died. Naor was 148 years old when he died, and Terah lived to be 205 years old. So you can see that we went from 600 with Shem to the lowest number was 148. Terah after that was 205. But you noticed not only did their ages begin to shorten very rapidly after the flood, but also did they begin to age differently, because we show that Shem was 100 years old when he gave birth to Arpachshad. And then we have 35 years old and 30 years old and 34 years old and 30 years old and 32, 30, 29. And then with Terah, he was 70 years old when he begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So you see, as we've progressed after the flood, that almost immediately, and I think it was because the environment changed to where our life just our lifespan wasn't so long because of the environment. I think that it shortened our lives, and you can see that clearly, and it happened very quickly and very rapidly from one point to the other. And so as you have those numbers, we just want to take a few minutes and look at those. Now we're going to begin with verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of their nativity in Ur of Chaldees. Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was, we'll just call it Milcah. Some call it Malkah, but I'm going to call it Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, we're going to take a look now as we have read through these first verses of Scripture. And we're going to begin from the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of the book of Genesis. We started with Adam. We have went from Adam to Noah. And through these 11 chapters here, up through the 30th verse, we have went from Adam down through Noah, and then, of course, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. We are just beginning to see some very beautiful pictures. Now begins a walk that you're going to see with a man named Abram. And that walk doesn't end until we get all the way to the Lord Jesus. And so if you have never thought much of studying the Old Testament, I hope that this small explanation here will help you see and recognize the need to study and look to these beautiful pictures in the Old Testament of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was going to do when he come. Again, these first 11 chapters went from Adam to Noah. The 11th chapter, verse 31 and 32 here, tell us, "And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died." Abram, a friend of God, known as the father of the faithful, the father of the nation of Israel, and he is the spiritual father of every true believer. The first 11 chapters carries a time period of about 2,000 years. 2,000 years of human history, history of the world, and the history of man. This first section kind of ends with the 30th verse. But Sarai was barren, and she had no children. The first section ends from Adam through Noah to Shem, to the end of the family of Noah at the end of this 11th chapter. This next section begins with a record of Abram. Now it starts, Terah took Abram, but we're going to find when we get to the 12th chapter that because of Terah being Abram's father, he was placed there first. Actually, Abram took Terah with him. When we get down into the 12th chapter, you can see that the Lord spoke to Abram to get out of the country, out of the land of Ur of Chaldees, and go to the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Now, as we look at this second section, it begins with this record of Abram. And from chapter 12 through the 50th chapter, it covers only 400 years. We have covered 2,000 years with this first 11 chapters, but the last chapters from 12 through 50 will only cover about 400 years. It involves Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, which is Abraham's son, grandson, and great-grandson. The rest of the Old Testament, the total of 39 books, deal with the history of the nation of Israel. This man, Abram, is going to begin it all as he follows the Lord's leadership. All the rest of the Bible, the New Testament, deal with Abram's greater son, the greatest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, when we look at the Word of God, don't look at it as just history. It is. But don't look at it only as history. It has some beautiful stories in it. But don't look at it as just beautiful stories. We need to look to the Word of God as being the beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll look to the Word of God being not just a book, but to be His living Word, I believe that you'll begin to see the sin that you're in and the Savior that's presented in this book. And I hope that you don't miss that today. Jesus Christ died for your sin. Don't miss Him. Once again, we're going to look at this man named Abram, and it's going to begin with some very beautiful pictures. We've had some wonderful pictures. We've had the ark with Noah and how that brought salvation. And we looked at the three levels, being looking at the Trinity and how it was pitched within and without with pitch, and all the beautiful pictures that that gave us. We go further back to when Adam, the coats of skin were placed upon him and upon Eve, those bloody coats picturing the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming Savior that He was to be for them. And it was a beautiful picture as it come. Even as we look at the gifts that were brought, as Cain and Abel brought their gifts, one was acceptable, one was not. And we know why the one was refused, because it did not follow God's will. It neglected the need of the blood, the presentation of the blood. And today there's many have taken the blood out of this book. And if you do, there is no salvation for you. So please, that you look very carefully as we look through these verses of Scripture, to see what the Lord wants to tell us. For Adam, redemption was set. He saw that with those bloody coats. But now, redemption is becoming more clear, this plan of salvation, to tell of the beginning of the world. God gave us really one verse. Yes, there's several verses that give a small explanation, but He gave us one verse, and that's Genesis 1:1. And I'm going to read Genesis 1:1 for you. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's really the full explanation of God's creating the heaven and the earth. He gave us also one verse with the creation of man, and we'll find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you see, we have really one verse that tells God created. Go back to verse 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. And then in the second chapter, verse 7, we have the creation of man. In the original text, that's seven words in Genesis 1:1. God takes his word from that place and begins to tell us of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that picture begins to be much clearer in the remaining books and chapters of this precious book that is the Bible, God's Word. So you see, the world looks back, and the world learns only from history. God looks forwards. God knows tomorrow. The Bible is not concerned with where we have been, but where we are going. Two verses. One to speak of the creation of the world, the heavens and the earth. The next to speak of the creation of man, period. He spends the rest of his precious word telling us of a need that we have and a need that can be filled, and that's sin that's in our life and Jesus Christ to be our Savior. He tells us who and how and what we need to do. And I don't want you to miss this, because from this point on, but from the very beginning, it was told us of salvation and the need of it and how to come, and that he produces it and he provides it. So please do not miss this beautiful picture. Again, the Bible's not concerned with where we've been, but where we're going. With the study of astronomy, archaeology, geology, chemistry, physics, all this is to understand where the world come from. With man, they have established that evolution, and with all the world, evolution is the only way that this can happen. We have started, we are expected to believe, and many do, that we have started with one little cell. And that cell then, over millions, billions of years, has become a plant. And that plant, over billions of years, has evolved to become a fish. And then as billions of years passed again, millions and billions of years, that fish established and grew wings and began to fly, began to have feathers. So we stopped calling that a fish, however we still have fish. Some evolved on to where we call them a bird. But after so long, some of those birds, because we still have birds, grew hair, lost their feathers and grew hair, and then instead of flying to a tree, they begin to climb the tree. And so we no longer call them a bird, even though there is still birds. Now we'd call them a monkey. So the monkey can climb the tree. But for some reason, some monkeys, because we still have monkeys, some monkeys lost their tail, begin to lose their hair, some of it, climbed out of the tree, and all of a sudden, we have man. Now, if this evolution is so real, number one, why did just some things evolve and others not? We still have the little cell. We still have the plants. We still have the fish. We still have the birds. We still have the monkeys. Why did some move and others didn't? Why have we stayed with those different species and others supposedly through these billions of years have evolved? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and this may just totally upset you. I believe the Word of God. God created the heaven and the earth. God spoke, made man, and spoke life into man. Now, who is the more foolish? The one that could believe such a thing as that, that God spoke it into existence? Or you believe the story that I've just told you, that you have evolved from a single cell through this procedure, and you can go whichever direction that you want to go and however you want to talk about it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you believe evolution, any means of it, if you're trying to put a gap theory in the middle from one place to the other, any means, any part of evolution, then you do not believe the Word of God. Because the Word of God clearly tells us God created, God spoke into us life, God spoke into existence the world as we know it today. He spoke it into existence. This book that tells us how He created it and did it in two verses, how He created it by telling us that in that short period of time and got on to the business at hand, bringing salvation to every generation that lives. That's this book's purpose. To tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ, to explain to us that we're sinners and we lost and we need to be redeemed, and the only way we can be redeemed is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary, and we've looked at that picture many times, how it's got to be God's way, it's got to be the shedding of blood, it's got to be an innocent sacrifice that could cover our sin. There's so many things that God has done for us that can only be found in this book. But you've got to believe it. And if you don't believe that God spoke into existence this world, but you believe in evolution, then you have no salvation. Go to church all you want to. Be baptized as many times as you want to. Be as involved in that church as you want to. Ask for forgiveness for your sins as long as many times as you want to. But if you refuse to believe this book and you believe evolution, there's no salvation for you, because you believe it all or you believe nothing. You come by faith to Jesus Christ today. Come to the God, the Son of God, that is spoken so clearly of in this book, and then you can have salvation, because it is in Him, in Him alone. But our God that spoke this world into existence is the same God that saves us, that gives us life. So please, you can't use part of your knowledge and understanding to work through some of it. You need to believe it. And so I want you to have salvation. So begin to believe God's book. We have been over 2,000 years in this first 11 chapters. Now we're going from here to the end of the Old Testament, to the end of the book of Genesis first, and we'll pass over this time period of about 400 years. And it's going to give us some very beautiful pictures in this family of Abraham. So please, that you don't miss it, but let's get right off the bat here. Let's get rid of evolution. Let's look to this man, Abram, and let's begin to look at these beautiful pictures that we have in here. And it's going to be wonderful as we watch Abram walk out of Ur of Chaldees and begin his walk of faith, because that's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to come by faith to Jesus Christ today. I want you to come out of this corrupt world and this corrupt land, this corrupt life, and begin a walk of real life, true life, and that can only be found in Jesus Christ. So please, today, look to Jesus Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?